Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. Today we are jamming on one of my favorite topics, money, wealth, and abundance. I spend a lot of time on these topics in both my Soulful Inspire Business Mastermind and my Scale Growth and Impact Mastermind for six-figure plus entrepreneurs. I think it's one of the most important work we can do as entrepreneurs. I know this is an area where I've personally had to invest a lot of love into my own journey with money and abundance. My story with money has shifted significantly over the years, and I'm always learning. Our guest today is Carrie Norley, the Wealth Alchemist. She is an international wealth and soul-aligned activator, mentor, speaker, and author. She is the author of two books, including the international bestseller, The New Wealth, Magnetize Abundance, Hold Your Wealth, and Leave a Legacy. She also has an international top-charting podcast, The Wealth Alchemist, where she dives into all things wealth and money. You are going to love this interview. Let's meet Carrie Norley. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Carrie. I am so excited to have you join us today.
I am super duper excited to be here.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about money and wealth and all those good sorts of things. And I always love to start with story. So let's start with your story. What was it that brought you into the world of, you know, making this your whole career around wealth and money?
I love that question. Thank you. First of all, just thank you for having me here. It's a true honor and pleasure to be here and to be sharing with whoever gets to be listening to this. And I'm sure.
Well, I know there's a lot of people that wanted to hear about this topic.
So. So how I got here, it's a very unique story, and it's why I love sharing so much of the story, because I actually come from a family of wealth and success. Mm-hmm. And so my grandfather started a Chevrolet dealership and was the number one Chevrolet dealer for years. He sold 1 million Chevrolets between 1936 and 1986. Wow. And then created what we now know is fleet car leasing. And the company actually, literally, I have never spoken this because I only found this out a week ago or 2 weeks ago, has just been sold and merged. It's a private company. It was the largest privately held company in America for one of, not one, like not the, but, you know, in the top like 100 private, largestly held companies. And my uncle, I just merged into another company. So like, I haven't actually heard all the details, but it's a pretty big thing with, you know, it was a multi-billion dollar merge, actually.
Oh, wow. So, and this is what your grandfather started back in the 30s.
Right?
Yes. That's so cool.
And so when I started to go do my own work around money, because I, of course, have money stuff. We all do.
Right.
And when
absolutely.
Right. And when I started to go do my work around it, I was like, every program I would go into was of coming from a lack and scarcity place, which is very normal because the majority of the world, that's where it comes from. But I'd hear all of this stuff going, money's bad, money's evil, bad people, all the stuff that so many people talk about. Like, but I know that's not true because you're saying to me, I'm bad. My family's bad. My grandfather's horrible. Like, you're telling me things that I can't possibly believe are true. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, so what's my problem then? Like, why can I not?
Yeah.
What's wrong with me?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Define your money story.
And define mine. And there was nobody teaching it. Like, I still haven't found anybody who's out there going, if you came from wealth, how do you grow your wealth? Like, show me, right? Mm-hmm. And it's why I wrote that book. Like, when I wrote my book, The New Wealth, Magnetize Abundance, Hold Your Wealth and Leave a Legacy, it was because I started to realize there's this little spot in the world around figuring out how to actually hold wealth and grow it. Because when you don't have a rock bottom to go from,
right,
there's a very different energy. And then there's also the energy that a lot of people, when I look at, when I started to do this exploration around helping people in this space, I started to see like so many entrepreneurs that they would get all of their money. And as we start to manifest more money, people are really good at manifesting money. Like they get really great at it. Right. And then we can scale from 6 to 7 figures, but how many people, and I'm sure you've seen it. I'm sure you've had people who've come into your work, right? That they get to 7 figures. And at the end of the year, they're still chasing their tails from paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
Right. With nothing to show for it.
And they're grasping. There's a grasp, right? I mean, and I've actually heard this, the conversation around of when you start with wealth, that you worry that you're going to lose the wealth.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
It's my biggest fear. My biggest fear. And so I've had to like, and it's not been an easy thing to like, it's still something that I have to pay attention to because my biggest fear is that all of a sudden it'll be gone. Right. That I, and the other piece, and I will say the other piece that's like the underlying, I would say like big, the big stuff that happens is that one of the biggest lessons I learned in this journey was I would actually like, it was through a psychic reading one day that someone had, they're like, Carrie, you connect your family as God. So your money comes from God. It doesn't come from, I mean, right. Like,
right.
If we look at, right.
That's what, so that, this is the story you're, you were right, telling it was, yourself.
It's like, right. Money is currency. It is God. It is divinity. It is like the currency, right? So if we tap into it, if we look at it from like the very holistic perspective and we say, if that's the truth, then all I need to know is that I am divine. God is divine. I am a current and I let this currency run through. And as you know, right, we just get to allow the currency to run. We allow ourselves to learn how to energetically hold this currency. But when I was putting my family as God, then I was like, well, there's an end point. Like there is no infinite to that. And then if I can't get it from them, then I'm fucked.
So there is the flow like part of it, right?
Yeah.
It was the flow part that you really had to learn that it was an abundant source, that it was the energy source. And, you know, that's really interesting. And I love to play with money as energy, right? Because it feels so, one, it's abundant and it's moving and it's movement. And it's not, you know, there's motion to it. There's flow to it. And that feels really fun to me.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, that is the journey, right? Like to really allow ourselves to play in that currency. And, and when I was doing this old pattern, you know, and it's still, like I said to you, like it's not been, because it took me so long. And I think this is the thing I would say that I'm frustrated if I were to look back on my journey of it, was like, it took me so much longer to break a pattern than I would help somebody to break the pattern because nobody was there to guide me.
Right.
And it's why I like to share these types of stories. Cause there's somebody else out there that is like, just like me.
Right.
Hearing this right now going, oh my God, thank you for saying this.
Right.
And you know, the other piece of it is like, we start to look at family lineage stuff. Like so often so many people in generational wealth. So I've actually started to really break down like generational wealth. I think it's a really interesting thing, right? How we hold it, but then also how we lose it, right? And how do we shift these patterns? Because most people don't realize we're playing them. And so when we also look at generational wealth, we can often see how people will do, I always call it, how much will you prostitute yourself for? Right? Because there's money that's coming. So is it that I'm going to give up on my dreams and not actually live the dream I wanted so that I can be in the family business so that I can get that money? Am I not going to marry the person that I wanted because my family told me if I marry that person that I don't get the money? Am I
because there's all so kinds much of stories that can kind of some conditions that can come along with it.
Right. That, and so how much will you prostitute yourself for? And I guarantee you that everybody who's in money in some way, shape or form has received it in that way. There is some level of, because you've been trained, like this is where it comes from. And, and most people, I mean, like I'm seeing, like, this is part of the work I love to do right now is because we can break this for our generations going forward, right? How we show up for money now, and then how we teach our children, because we can manipulate with money and not even realize we're doing it for our children. And then they think, well, I need my mom for this. I need my mom for that. Or, you know, like however we do, or then even from the other side as parents, how am I showing up for my money story and then teaching that to kids? And like, money doesn't grow on trees. Well, what if it did? You know, what if you could be 15 years old? There are plenty of millionaire kids out there at 15 years old right now. Right.
And teaching so like, different dynamics in the family. One of my clients actually works with family dynamics with families of wealth. And so that's what her whole business is around, is the family dynamics that happen.
I so want to meet her.
Oh, I know. So I was just totally thinking you guys need to have a connection and to get to know each other. So that will happen. Yeah. So what was your story that you had to break through?
So it was a lot of that. Like that was number one, but then also the piece that's been like the biggest for me that I realized it didn't come until my grandmother died a few years ago. And when she died, I realized that she had been honored in her life for being a philanthropist. She was an amazing philanthropist. And my grandfather, when they were first creating the business, said to her not to work. They were in the middle of the Great Depression. And he was like, look, there's a lot of people who don't have jobs and need them. We don't need it. Let them work. But she had she was one of the first four women to graduate from the University of Chicago Business School. And that's a huge deal. Like back with some of the greats that we still study today.
Absolutely.
Right? And so, and then to be told like, no, just don't go make money doing what you're actually really amazing at, what you studied, right? And right. She was an amazing singer. And she and my grandfather said, no, don't go pursue that. Just support me and help me. And so she worked in his business. Again, here's this piece, right? So she worked in his business. And to be honest, like if you looked at her, she'd be happy. But I saw that. And then she became this amazing philanthropist. And she gave. And she was known for her philanthropy. And then my aunt, my mother as well, like her greatest gift to the world, I can tell you, they've both raised millions and millions of dollars, all of them. Mm-hmm. And so much of their time and energy. And so what did I have as the role model was, give away your time and energy. And you can be brilliant giving
give
away
it away, your time give energy. It away, give it away, and for free, right? So yeah, you had to learn other, to value and, your time.
And the other piece of it was my grandmother was always on my grandfather's arm. It's his dream, his vision, and I'm the neck that. So for many years, I was the neck behind my husband, mm-hmm. and I would just be like, right, let's go do this. And I would help with the marketing and da da da, and I do this. But really, he didn't ever want to be the head. And I was really like needed to be the head and not the neck.
Right.
And when we swapped that, it's like, I have so much more fun getting to do this role, but it took a long time for me to actually go, wait a minute. I don't actually have to be the one that supports you if you're not the one who wants to do that.
Right. That's awesome. I love that. I love it. So, I mean, and I think the most important thing for all of our listeners to know is we all have our own money stories, right? You know, I think mine really tied around, I believed I had to work really hard to be successful. And I did it for so many years in the corporate world. And even when I started my business, you know, over a decade ago, it was, I have to work really hard. And there was this push energy. And I really had to learn to let that go and open into the flow. And I've done so much. So I've done all the money work that's out there. I mean, it's like I'm constantly, but I still do it. And I think that's the beauty of it is I love taking my clients through abundance work and I love taking them through money work. And every time I'm taking them through it, I'm getting something, you know, that is just so important to me in my own journey. I mean, I've had psychics actually tell me that, you know, there are stories from past lifetimes that I still, you know, that I've been releasing in this lifetime. And I love that kind of stuff because it's like when you shift it and you can feel the shift in your body totally. and you can see the shift in your bank account, it's such a beautiful thing. And we've been doing some of the Tosha Silver work in my Platinum Mastermind recently. And what's happening in their businesses is just incredible, right? I mean, it's just so powerful to see that release. So it's just a lot of fun to really work in the world of abundance and I love that you build off of it and keeping it, right? So that you're staying in that flow of it. So powerful.
It is. I think a lot of people don't give that credit, you know, and so they, like I said, they get really great at bringing it in. And then there's another level. And I always think this, you know, so many people that there's always more levels, you know, and I remember when I first getting into this work, and I don't know if you felt the same, but there was like the imposter syndrome. Oh my God, there's so much shame because I'm not doing as much as they're doing, or, oh, I still have my own stuff around it. Or, and I was like, wait a minute. And eventually
we never get
like,
there, right?
I'm never going to be done with this. Like totally. There's always like, otherwise I would probably be the richest woman in the world. Right. Like,
right. Yeah. What are some of the tips you give around for people really breaking through that, the, you know, the grasping at it, the holding so that they're keeping the wealth in their world? What's some of the tips that you give around that?
Well, first of all, like actually literally do it. You know, I think that's, you know, a lot of people don't actually do the thing. Like you
do the automate. Work.
You could just literally automate. Okay. First of all, think about what do I want to be creating? Mm-hmm. Because money always will come to what you want to create. If you don't have a bucket for it or a reason for it to show up, mm-hmm. then why is it going to show up? So first we have to give it a reason. And then from there, it's like, okay, so I want to have a holiday. Well, how much is my holiday going to cost? Then just start putting aside. Or like a lot of people don't value.
I have a great story off of this.
Yeah.
And this has just happened within the last month, which is really super fun. I've been looking for my next business coach for over a year, and I've been watching people. And suddenly there was somebody that was just really speaking to me, and she showed up, and then I started like, you know, consuming all her content and just saying, oh my gosh, I think she's the person. And so I set up an appointment with her. And I set up the appointment with her at like 2:30 in the afternoon. And I had a 3 o'clock meeting right after that with a prospect. And so we did our half hour and I'm like, oh my God, I am so in. I'm so doing this. And I turn around and as soon as I hung up the phone, I got on the call with the prospect and I closed it and it paid for my investment in that program. And it was like, there's, you put the bucket out there and it shows up, right?
It shows up.
And so I love that one. And it, and just because it's so personal for me right now, I'm like, I got off of that. I was like, I was just so smile, full of smiles. It was like, this was, if that wasn't the right person that I was supposed to be working with, I don't know what I would tell you, because it was exactly who I was meant to be working with. And I'd been looking and looking and there, it just became so possible.
And then it became so easy. I love it. Yeah. And it's true. It's like, we have to make the choice. And I think a lot of people, this is something I also look back to, and I'll say, like, you can say, I want this, but it's not until the decision is made that there is nothing else that is possible in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It will 100% show up, right? Because like, if we make a wishy-washy, like, it would be cool if I did that. I will say, I'm always amazed how many times that actually does happen.
Right.
But it's not like, it's not always going to happen that way. Like, it's like a wishy-washy, right? But when you make a decision, you need to cut off from all of the possibility, then it has to happen.
Right.
So it has true. To. And like, there's a, sometimes, and I'll say the energetics of that, I don't know if you feel like, even as I said, I was like, ooh, because when you actually make that decision, there's like an energetic, like, yes. And then there's like a little pullback, like, oh, do I really deserve it? Can I have it? Da-da-da. And then you take the breath and you're like, yes.
And you breathe into it.
Take those steps forward, right?
And I love
like,
that.
What is the next step? What's the next aligned action that would actually bring me to that place? So if I want to have a mentor, is it that I go reach out, finding someone? Is it that I start putting money aside? Right. Yeah. And a lot of things with like, if we're talking about holding money, because a lot of people don't value like profit first, take money out for myself. And I started challenging myself this year for extra profit first. And man, when my mentor said to me, Carrie, give yourself an extra 10%. And I was like, ooh, there's a lot going on this year. That's a challenge. Right. And I was like, but you know what? He's like, Carrie, stop it. That's a very lacking and abundant thing, because you say yes to it and then the money will show up for it because you said yes and you'll do it and you'll just go get another client and it will provide that. And then at the end of the year, you're going to have 20%, 30%, whatever it is for the abundance, not just like the rest of, I got to the end of the year and went, what did I just do?
Right. And so it's stepping into it. And I like that you said that you lean into it, you step into it anyway, even when you feel that kind of pull back, that you actually step into it anyway and start to move toward it. And I think that physical and energetic action really does open up doors. So it's so, so cool. So one of the things that you speak about is that you help your clients align to their soul when it comes to finances. What does that mean?
What it means when I say align to your soul, I think a lot of people, this is a big one too, actually, when we start talking about wealth creation, because I said, if I wanted it, if I was really that clear, I'd be the richest person in the world, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, the opposite side of that is it really what I want? Right. So when we talk about aligning to our soul is, do I really care about being the richest woman in the world?
Exactly. Or,
I don't. Yeah. I don't want the responsibility. I don't want whatever it's going to take, because, you know, to get to those billions and billions of dollars, there's a messy middle that's hard. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hours. And I'm like, you and I could sit here and say, yeah, I could get there and I could have my 3 hour work, you know, 3 day work. No, like my 3 day work week or whatever that is way more important to me than being the richest woman in the world. Right.
Right.
And so for me, it's like, that is it. How do we know what we want, what we desire, and stop reaching to other people's dreams? Like, I have clients who are like, I don't want to have millions and millions of dollars in my business.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have to.
Right.
Right. And maybe by the time you get to the $250,000 or the $500,000 or whatever it is, you'll go, oh, wait, actually for me to scale, I might want that then.
Right.
But in those moments, you might not. And so stop like going to places that are not
just because you heard it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so often that carrot dangled. And also things like, some people want flashy, beautiful, you know, luxurious, I want to have all the labeled things. Mm-hmm. And some people give a flying rat's behind about it.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, what's aligned for me? And then also, what's that? And again, like, stop not prostituting ourselves. Like, what's aligned for me in the way that I create this?
Yeah.
Right. Some people want to work 5 days a week. Some people want to work, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning. Some people want to be up at late at night. And it's really interesting, I think, that sometimes the way that we there can be so much shame around how we schedule our lives and how we do our things, right? Like the right way to do it for who, like what's right for who,
right?
And so how do we come back into what's the right path for me? What's the next right aligned step for me? Not what's everywhere out there. And then we start to come
from
that space, right? When we come from that space, like we just become more and more magnetic because we're just doing the thing that our soul is actually here to do.
Yeah, I love that. Totally love that. So what is wealth mindset and how is it different from abundance mindset?
That's an interesting question. I think of abundance and I think of like plethora is the word that comes to me, right? Mm-hmm. There's just, there's an overflow. There's just a lot of, and it's like whatever it is, right? And it can be, there's an abundance of love. There's a, you know, an overflow of love. There's an abundance of cars that I see going down the street that are red right now. There's, right? Like it's an overflow and how we can create overflow in our lives. That would be abundance to me, where it's just like pouring down on us. Mm-hmm. And all the, I will say, we can also have abundance of poo too.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Things.
Yeah.
Right. Those weeks that you go, did everything not right go happen like happened this week? Yeah. You had the car accident, all these things. Right.
Right.
You have abundance of not right too. And so, but that to me is the abundance, it's the overflow. And then, for me, wealth, you know, it's interesting because wealth to me isn't just about money, but it is money. And I think a lot of people, when they say this in a spiritual capacity, they'll go, it's not just about money. I'm like, you actually disregard the fact that it is also about money. And then there's a lot of spiritually wealthy, but broke people.
Right.
Right. And I'm quoting this.
So you're putting it together, right? I mean, you're putting both together, sides like, of the coin.
Right. So wealth to me is everything. It's like my wealth is my health, my money, wealth in our relationships. But to me, wealth is this like, there is a holding for me in wealth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's really, it feels, I mean, it feels really, because wealth can be so all encompassing and we get to define from this soul alignment with wealth and our relationship with wealth, we get to define what that is. Each one of us individually. So I'm kind of drawn to the wealth mindset versus the abundance mindset. I think they're, I mean, I like them both, but I'm intrigued with the wealth mindset.
Yes. I think there's something almost regal about wealth too. Like when I feel into the energy of wealth and there is again, like this for me, wealth is holding, right? Cause I can actually, to me, I can have a lot of money come to me and a lot of manifestation of money flow, but I can be broke.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
And so for me, wealth is that I can actually then I have learned and earned
and by learning what you wanted to create.
Right.
The ability, dropping my mic here.
The ability to actually be able to believe that I can hold this wealth. Yeah. Right. And there is an energetic experience of that. And when we, and this is what happens when we don't, and this is, I think, a lot of times what happens when we get wealth quickly. Mm-hmm. Or when businesses grow fast, or when we receive, I mean, from any way, shape, or form, and we receive some lump sum of money, right? Mm-hmm. If we don't know how we're going to hold that money or where it's going to go or how it's going to feel, then we will release it and let it go through. If we don't feel worthy of it, it will go right through.
And same so with our health, right? I mean, I'm right. Totally going into the world of health.
Right.
You can find yourself in it and with health that way, and you can let it go through and suddenly start making different choices. So there's just so many different aspects of our life that we could look at that.
Yes. And who wants to have a lot of money with really bad health?
Yeah. Nobody.
Nobody. And who wants to be unhealthy without money?
Yeah.
Right. Like, thank goodness that we can have money to make choices. And that's what I look at when we start to look at wealth. Like it actually just gives you choice.
Yeah.
It gives you choice to be able to look after yourself in the most abundant way. And and the more that we feed our soul with the things that are good for us, whatever that is for you, the more wealthy you can become.
Yeah. And time is another way that we can hold wealth. This is with time, right? Yes. It's like, how much time are we creating? There's just so many different ways you can
time look abundance.
At that. Like, yeah. I love it. I love it. So, okay. I want to get into the world of crypto because I know you are speaking all over the place about the world of crypto and you are working, you're running programs around this and teaching people about crypto. So tell us, you know, why, first of all, were you drawn into the world of crypto? And then tell us a little bit more about what it is. You know, we all have this concept of what we think crypto is. So give us some of the basics around this and how you were drawn into it.
I do love this topic. I love all the topics, actually. And it's all important. And I think this is what makes what I teach very unique, because it is all important. I think there's a lot of people who will get into the space who don't understand the energetics. And like, we see all these things in the crypto space of the up and downs of money. Well, like, it all matters, right?
Right.
So how I got into the world of crypto was it's been in my field for a long time. So I've known about it for a while, and I just started looking into it. And 2 years ago, I ended up joining a mentorship with somebody who is, I would say, more in the energetic realms. Like, he was doing all this energetic teaching, and just like me, started teaching crypto, but he was doing it at a high level. And he opened up a mastermind for a very small amount of us. And I started to learn. And then I ended up writing my book called The New Wealth, Magnetize Abundance, Hold Your Wealth, and Leave a Legacy. And when I wrote this book, I had this vision of this, of our planet as this world of infinite abundance and infinite bliss. And I was like, well, but that's impossible. Like, my logical brain, right? When you write visions and logic don't always match, but I was like, all right, I'm just channeling the stuff. So I'll just channel through whatever. And then I was like, well, the only thing I can imagine, because I also wrote in the book what's ultimately where we are in our current financial system, which is a messed up financial system that is corrupt as heck. And it's not for the people. It's for the global financial elite to get richer. And so like, if we were to move away from that, what would it look like? And I started to look into the crypto space, and I was like, well, but the crypto space, if you were to look at it from what most people see, Bitcoin and ETH, if you've heard of Ethereum or ETH, those would be the two places that most people, maybe Dogecoin, if you heard about Elon Musk's tweet, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have these highly volatile assets that people will know about. They go up and down and swing. And so most people go, that's just a really scary thing that I don't want to do because it's just some crazy ass investment.
Right.
And so when I looked at it from that place, I'm like, it can't be our answer, because it's just like saying the stock market's our answer. And so I reached out to a mentor to say, hey, can you, or somebody I knew in the crypto space, can I refer to you for people to learn this? And he told me about DeFi. Now, decentralized finance, or DeFi, I was like, oh my God, the thing I visioned is actually here. It's literally actually here. And so DeFi becomes its own bank within the crypto space. We now can do borrowing and lending within the crypto space. And so ultimately what that means is that it's like, for effective, so I can explain this to fiat currency, or like the, you know, the dollar currency to the cryptocurrency. It's like saying, I'm putting my money in a savings account. And if in the olden days, we used to get to make some interest in the savings accounts, which now like we don't. I'm putting my money into the bank, and I'm getting savings, right? And so now we have that ultimately within the crypto space. I can put my money into a space, and I can make interest. And in the same way that I would never look at my savings account and go, shoot, did my money go down today? No, you just assume it's always going to go up, and then you're going to eventually get some interest. The same thing happens in this space now in DeFi. And so, but the returns are anywhere from 4% to I've sat at 20%, 60%, and it's compounding, and it's compounding daily. So every single day I wake up and I make money. And nothing's going to happen to that bottom piece. When I started to look at it, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, there it is. Like, we actually could start to create this infinite abundance, regenerative wealth. And when I start to actually look at what's happening on the rest of the space, because that's one aspect of this space, right? Is how we can actually utilize it to create wealth. And we can have this very amazing place to go and make compounding interest. And but the rest of it, when we start to look at like things like blockchain and other things like that, we can start to look at how it's going to completely shift how we look at and transact in the world. And so it goes beyond that. And like, I think there's projects out there in the world who are looking at even things from permaculture farms, and starting to create permaculture farms and getting currency to the farmers where they get to be rewarded. And the farmers can be your local neighbor down the street who's providing food for 4 people, mm-hmm. right? But they're getting paid for it through these currencies or through these DAOs or through these different experiences of how they're going to do this. And so there's so many ways that we're going to start to create regenerative wealth. There's ways that we are now getting, I mean, if we even just talk about things like what's just happened in Canada with the truckers and they've had all these truckers up there, and they actually had GoFundMe canceled millions of dollars, would not send it to them. And so what happened was Bitcoin people came together, got Bitcoins together and distributed it to the people who needed to get it. We're seeing now with Russia and Ukraine, banking's going to, you know, messy over there right now. Totally. And Bitcoin can get through things. Cryptocurrencies can get through things. It can be a way to transact across borders. And so we're starting to see that there are these digital ways to now have a borderless economy, a borderless society, where I get excited by it to see like what's going to happen in the world when we don't have to worry about borders in this way. But also there's ways of governing within this space called DAOs that you could have borderless governance. And so all of the stuff that's crazy right now and some of these power issues, mm-hmm. we could see shift because we start to decentralize and we actually give power to the people and take it from the big powerhouses of the world who want to control and manipulate and reign us.
Interesting. So interesting. So you are doing some training in this space. I mean, this is some work that you're doing.
Yes.
How can people learn more about that work?
So I have a mastermind that I do that's a paid mastermind that's mm-hmm. like diving into all the depths of this. Mm-hmm. And I also have, for anyone who's new into the space and wants to know more about it, there is an intro to crypto training that will give you so much information about all these the NFTs and DAOs and all this languaging yeah. and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't make any sense. But I ask that you go and start educating yourself because it's here. This isn't going anywhere.
Right.
You can go to carrienorley.com/crypto-intro to hop into that. It's free. And it's not going anywhere. And we're going to see it continue to go. And the thing that I always say when I have a platform to stand on and say this is we were going to see digital banking currencies show up in the world. They are already coming. They're already here. They are being trialed out in China. India has announced theirs. America's working on theirs. They are called central banking digital currencies or CBDCs. And these are not necessarily your friend people. These are not. They're going to be a way that they can control and manipulate you even more. And they will try, like when you start to do your research on this, all I say is like, take a hat as you do this, you know, and some glasses and use like your investigative reporter skills and think about who is saying this and what's the benefit for them saying it. Because of course, no government or big financial bureaucracy people are going to want to let you think that what freedom is good because they want your money.
Mm-hmm. So really do the homework behind it. Is
do your homework,
saying.
Right?
To understand what's so, there.
And so this is why I teach it because I'd rather people hear it and get to have the benefit of it than get stuck on the other side of it. Because you've got to understand that when we do any of these currencies, it's just programming. People can computer program anything they want to any of these currencies. So when we start to see these digital central banking digital currencies, we will see that like they can actually say, okay, well, at $10,000, you cannot have any more money in your account. Once you've spent money at this store and you've gotten enough petrol or gas, you cannot go anymore in your car. Once you've done this, like they can actually program that into the thing. And then they can also watch and monitor, depending on how you've done this with them, watch and monitor everything you're spending. And that's the opposite of privacy. Right. That is not true in other ways, but this is what the governments can do. Mm-hmm. And so this is why it's really important that you educate yourself because there will be a shadow side to this, but it's actually not the people.
Okay. Yeah. So do the work. Fascinating. It's so fascinating. So go check that out. And what was your website again?
CarrieNorley.com. And then if you want the intro to crypto, it's CarrieNorley.com/crypto-intro. And it's K-E-R-I-N-O-R-L-E-Y. Okay.
And we'll put the links in the show notes. Okay, so the final question that we always close with are, what three pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with our listeners today?
Ooh, my three pearls of wisdom. One would be to dream bigger. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that when we start to look at wealth creation and we were talking about this energetics, that even though I said, you know, it's what's your divine blueprint, that I think most people and every single person I've ever heard that has created wealth and success in their life has said, I wish I dreamed bigger faster.
Yeah.
And because whatever we decide that we want to create, it's like, it's available for us. So how long do you want to take for it to get there? I would say in regards to some of this crypto stuff, please go and educate yourself. You know, like my pearls of wisdom are quite literally like, it's so important to go and educate yourself, to go and do, because things are going to get messy and you can be prepared for it or not. You can be on the winning side. And it's like, I look at this and I don't even say winning side. I look at this and I think it's kind of like the beginning of the internet bubble.
And, you know, in the internet bubble, people wished that they could, you know, look back and they're like, oh, I wish I'd gotten in then. And a lot of people in the world right now are like, oh, it's too late. This is, you know, it's too late, or I don't know, or it's too wishy-washy or whatever. I'm like, no, you're right at the perfect time. Like, this is the most beautiful time. And even if you're listening to this in a year, now is the right time too. Whenever you hear this, now is the right time. And number three, as a tidbit, I would say, follow your heart.
I love it.
Follow your heart.
Yeah. Well, Carrie, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing all your good wisdom. And I know people are going to really enjoy this one. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Cammie. It's been a pleasure.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business for impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammiegelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.